So we're reading from Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 11, beginning with text 20.
We'll do only one verse responsibly.
Yes, sounds good. But we may look at the other verses also. Okay, let's say 20. Okay, there is 20. Okay. Kindly repeat. Dhyau apritvyor idam antaram hi vyaptam tvayakena dishas cha sarva tristvarbhutam rupam ugram Savidam Loka Trayam Pravyatitam Mahatmam. Okay, we try line by line. Jav, let's see. Jav. Java pritvoriram antaram hi Vyaptam tvayai kenadi sascha sarva Tristvadbhutam rupam ugram taveram Lokatrayam pravyatitam mahatmam
Lokatrayam pravyatitam mahatmam
Dhyava prithvyo Dhyava Dhyava prithivyo ridam antaram hi
Dhyava prithivyo ridam antaram hi
Vyaptam tvayai kenadi sascha sarva Tristvadbhutam rupam ugram taveram
Tristvadbhutam rupam ugram taveram
Lokatrayam pravyatitam mahatmam
Lokatrayam pravyatitam mahatmam
Dhyava prithivyoridam antaram hi
Dhyava prithivyoridam antaram hi
Vyatam tvaya kenadi sascha sarva Tristvadbhutam rupam ugram taveram
Tristvadbhutam rupam ugram taveram
Lokatrayam pravyatitam mahatmam
Lokatrayam pravyatitam mahatmam
Dhyava prithivyoridam antaram hi
Dhyava prithivyoridam antaram hi
Vyaptam tvayai kenadi shasya sarva Tristvadbhutam rupam ugram taveram
Tristvadbhutam rupam ugram taveram
Lokatrayam pravyatitam mahatmam
Lokatrayam pravyatitam
mahatmam Translation. Although the All One, you spread throughout the sky and the planets and all space between. O Great One, seeing this wondrous and terrible form, all the planetary systems are perturbed. Purport. Dhyav apritivyo, the space between heaven and earth, and Lokatrayam, the three worlds, are significant words in this verse. Because it appears that not only did Arjuna see this universal form of the Lord, but others in other planetary systems saw it also. Arjuna's seeing of the great universal form was not a dream. All whom the Lord endowed with divine vision saw that universal form on the battlefield. Okay, I read through this up to 25, text 21. Amhitvam surasanga vishanti kechid bita pranjalayo krinanti stastityuktva mahashti sirasanga stuvantitvam stutibi pushkalabi. All the host of demigods are surrendering before you and entering into you. Some of them, very much afraid, are offering prayers with folded hands. Hosts of great sages and perfected beings crying, all peace, are praying to you by singing the Vedic hymns. A small purport. The demigods in all the planetary systems fear the terrific manifestation of the universal form and its glaring effulgence, and so prayed for protection. Trudraditya vasavo yaccha sadhya vishveshvino marutas chasmapascha gandharva yaksha sura siddha sangha vikshante tvam vismitas shaiva sarve. All the various manifestations of Lord Shiva, the Adityas, the Vasus, the Sadyas, the Vishvadevas, the two Asvis, the Maruts, the forefathers, the Garvas, the Yakshas, the Asuras, and the perfect demigods are beholding you in wonder. Rupan mahati bahu vaktra netram mahabaho bahu bahu ruparam bahudaram bahudam strakararam drishtva lokam pravyatitas tatam tattaham. O mighty armed one, all the planets with the demigods are disturbed at seeing your great form with its many faces, eyes, arms, thighs, legs, and bellies, and you and your many terrible teeth. And as they are disturbed, so am I. Nabhasprisham diptam anekavarnam vyatarnanam dipta visalanetram tristva hitvam pravya hitam taratma dritim navindami samam shavishnu. O all-pervading Vishnu, seeing you with your many radiant colors touching the sky, your gaping mouth and your great glowing eyes, my mind is perturbed by fear, and I can no longer maintain my steadiness or equilibrium of mind. Tamstra karala nishate mukam tristvai vakala nalasani bani tishona jane nalabeshat sarma prashida davesha jagan nivasa. O Lord of Lords, O refuge of the worlds, please be gracious to me. I cannot keep my balance seeing thus your blazing death-like faces and awful teeth. In all directions I am bewildered. Krishna. Om Ganati Miranda Shya Ganagana Sulakya Shakshura Namaritam Yana Tashmai Shri Guruve Namaha. Nama Om Vishnu Praya Krishna Pistavatare Shamata Bhakti Viranta Santa Namana. Namaste Sarasvata Deve Guruvani Prachana Nivise Sasanyavari Paskityari Satare. Okay, the first verse was Yav apritivyoridam mantaram hi vyaptam tvaya kenadishasasarva Trisvadbhutam rupam ugram ugram tavedam lokatrayam pragatitam mahatman. Although you're one, you spread throughout the sky and the planets and all space between. O great one, seeing this wondrous and terrible form, all the planetary systems are perturbed. So Krishna is one, and that's what we point here. So, but he expands, the one expands into the whole universe. Of course, otherwise they say that the one or the whole become the one, or that the universe in some way should manifest as one, as Krishna. But it's Krishna who manifests, he enters into and manifests the universe. So he remained the one. In the ninth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, that kind of mysterious verse is that I can never really fully comprehend, but if Krishna speaks, let's see what it says. He says, by in my unmanifested form, this entire universe is pervaded. By me, in my unmanifested form, this entire universe is pervaded. He pervades by him. All beings are in me, but I am not in them. That is a mystery. Of course, we understand that he is present in all beings as a super soul, but the one supreme enters into the heart of all beings. But he does not become diminished, or his oneness, his one personality does not become diminished by that, or split up. He's not a split soul. It's not a split personality. He remains the one supreme. And this one supreme, Krishna Bhagavan, he is there in the spiritual world or in the region, and then he expands as Balaram. And then Balaram expands to the Shatavyuha. And then the Shatavyuha, from there, the Sankarshan there expands as the Narayans, the Vishnus. And then there's another Shatavyuha, and then the Purusha avatars. And then you finally have the material creation. So the one expands into so many. And then we say, yes, Krishna, he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Balaram, he is also the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Narayan is also the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They're all the one Supreme Personality of Godhead, but the one expands, he manifests in many forms, maintaining his oneness, so he's the same, to say, Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this is, we could say, the inconceivable nature of Krishna consciousness. It's not simple. Sometimes Christianity, they try to make things simple. Maybe Islam, in one sense, Allah is one, there is one, he is great. So we have a more complex, it's more the inconceivable nature of the Supreme. Okay, so that's Supreme. So he manifests as a universal form. And that's here. Sometimes we men, you may be fascinated by war, battles, and all these kind of things. War films are very popular, hopefully not amongst the devotees, but of course we have the Mahabharata. But there is, sometimes, we are like, in one way, there may be a fascination with the violence, with the explosions, with the destruction. As long as it does not come too close to you. A nice distance. We can look at it in somewhere in the distance, on the TV, on the internet, or something like that. But when it actually comes very close to you, when it gets too close, you don't like to be close anymore. Instead of being fascinated, we become scared to death. Basically speaking, you can be scared to death. You may even die. Arjuna has a very beautiful experience. He's seeing the universal form. It's all its grandeur and it's all its scariness. he's getting divine eyes. And apparently explained here that there's other beings also in the universe who at the same time is able to see this universal form. And they are all scared. So we may... Well, now we're blessed by this modern age, by the television and everything, and we can look a little bit what's happening around, not the universe, but... on the planet, and if you take all these things together, it's quite scary, actually. Now, of course, we still have this kind of distance. It's something we see on something, some other place. But here, Arjuna, he's really seeing, it's really in it. And he loses his composure. As we maybe lose our composure if the terror comes too close. Okay, no, may it not happen. But sometimes terrible things happen. Some bomb goes off, I forget. No, in India that happens actually. Bombs may go off here and there. Well, we don't expect it to happen here. I was once on Northern Ireland, 76. We had a small preaching program. And then sometimes in the background you heard a boom. Some bomb was going off somewhere in the background. Luckily it didn't happen. Close to us, let's say. Okay, so, but if that boom would come closer to us, we would be dead scared. What would we do? We would lose our we most probably lose our composure. We go into a state of freezing or maybe panicking, running away. What's happening? So that is the scariness, we can say, of this beautiful universal form. Prabhupada said that that during the Second World War, I think he went up on the roof, top of the roof, top of the house to watch how the Japanese was bombing the English, British, quarters. Okay, it was clear. Over there, the bombing. There was a British who was the target. But he saw something of the universal form. And another thing is that the previous verse here, how Arjuna describes his universal form as if a thousand suns was rising in the sky at the same time. And the inventor, one of the inventors, at least one of the inventors, one Oppenheimer, German, I assume that is, he supposedly quoted that verse when he saw the first nuclear bomb going off that they had managed to create. He connected it with the universal form of the Bhagavad Gita. Something very terrifying. Okay, so these are beautiful, terrible. Sometimes the terrible has a certain beauty to it. So this terrible universal form has a certain beauty. It has a certain with attraction. It attracts the attention. At the same time, it scares. It's scary. Now, the divine eyes to see. So Krishna gives eyes to his devotees so they can see things when they need to see things. And sometimes maybe it's better we don't see things. It's kind of to turn a blind eye to all the advertisement and everything. Well, that's really an illusion of the material energy putting on. Get this, get that, have a car, keep up with the neighbors. And we are pulled by the nose we become endlessly entangled, we say, in the complexities of material existence by our illusion. We're not really seeing things for what they are, but being illusioned by this. But now, suppose we... Okay, some are thinking... Well, what would it be if I really saw things as they are? You better don't see me as I am. What is all crazy? Well, crazy and more or less somewhat, sometimes maybe a little bit crazy thoughts going through everywhere. We have our minds, we're sitting with a gross body, we're sitting with a dress. Dress maybe looks okay. Body, I don't know. And then we have a mind. And what's going on there with all these different thoughts and reflections? And then, of course, there's intelligence, and then there's an ego, false ego, what is a false ego look like, and finally, but we can see these things, maybe it will be a little bit, it's a scary thought, imagine what we could see, is these things, but Krishna sees these things. Nothing is hidden to his eyes. He sees more of us than we see ourselves. I mean, we are just barely aware. I am just barely aware of myself, I believe. I know there's many things. Then there may pop up thoughts, remembrance, or reactions. I think, why did I do like that? Well, Krishna knows. Krishna has a full scope of me, so to say. Okay, so we are put under a certain illusion, because otherwise we wouldn't be able to interact as of with a karma or a destiny has it to be, so to say, with this material body. Okay, so that. So what if we saw things as they are? Of course, then we see these things, this material existence. But then we have the further step, that in the 13th chapter it said that one who sees the soul along with the super soul actually sees. So that's a nice continuation of seeing things as they are, or seeing the person as he or she is. Well, actually, this body, this mind, this intelligence, this ego, is actually external, just an external dress of the soul proper. Something through which the soul manifests. But then when we actually see the soul itself, it's beautiful, it's brilliant, it's eternal, it's unbreakable, and I don't know what. You can't cut it, and you can't dry it, and you can't drown it. And it doesn't die. And it's conscious. It's a Satchit Ananda. It's eternal, full of knowledge and bliss. And we're walking around sometimes and think, I don't know, me. Well, we may think that things are hard or tough, or why is things not going better? But actually the soul is eternally blissful and eternally conscious. So actually to be able to see the soul, and then along with the soul, there is a super soul, or there is a supreme soul, who is also Satchit Ananda, who we are part of. So if we actually saw, we would see the soul along with the supreme soul. You can say, yes, here's the Prabhu. It's not a Prabhu exactly. Here's a soul along with the super soul, and there's a karma, there's a destiny, and whatever, and the soul is trying to engage in the service of the supreme by devotional service in this present life. So if we can see in this way, that would be nice, I assume. But of course, then there would no place for our illusions. First of all, would not be place for our dormant material desires, who are still, let's say, wanting to manifest. But someone would say, like, you know, something like taking sannyas or something. You know, there wouldn't, you might not be able to interact with and such and enjoy or exploit this material world in the way as we maybe still desire. Okay, so in that way, to Krishna's the vision, Sarvachaham Ridhi Sanavisto. Matasmiti jnanam apahanam cha. I am in the heart of all living entities. As Krishna said, I am in the heart of all living entities. That one supreme is in the heart of all living entities. And it says, and for me comes knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness. So we are this spirit soul, but we are not supreme. We are directed. So knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness. Krishna can give knowledge, or he actually gives us knowledge, he gives us intelligence, but we can act in various ways. And we may try to improve ourselves, and we may be able to improve ourselves to a certain degree, But at one point we may come short because we are not in control. We are not actually in control of knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness, or the intelligence given. The intelligence given, Prabhupada, in the second canto, to one purport, it's about the, I think that's about the Paramatma. He says that the intelligence, he uses this word, that the intelligence is the form direction of the Supersoul. And we say, we're giving a certain intelligence by which we're made to act in a certain way. And you can't really change it. We can say, we can't really change our conditioned nature. We can't really change our spiritual nature either, because we're eternal, full of knowledge and bliss. Actually, we're part and parcel of Krishna. Yeah. But materially speaking, well, it's like something like a scorpion. How does the scorpion tells the camel, please bring me over this river here? And the camel says, why? You will bite me. No, how I will bite you? You know, I depend on you to get over the river. Okay, get up on the back. So then they go, the camel goes over, camel I believe it was, goes over the water. And then the scorpion bites. And then the camel says, oh no, why did you do this? Now we die both. He went, I'm sorry, but it's just my nature. So sometimes we're like that, you know, we bite each other. I'm sorry, Prabhu, it was just my nature. We can have a good fight. And it's my nature to fight. Then I'm going to give you back. Okay, we sometimes end up in fighting each other's nature, due to our nature. Okay, the point was that we are directed in a way we have a certain freedom, we have a certain responsibility. As human beings, we have a certain responsibility. As human beings, we are responsible. Okay, that's what makes us human beings. We are held responsible for our actions. The cats, dogs, camels, and asses, and the monkeys. Here in Vrindavan, we have it so nice. I haven't seen any camels yet. I know asses, but the pigs and the monkeys I've seen. Okay. What was the point with them now? Monkeys do as they do, the pigs do as they do, and they can do certain things, but it's within limits, okay? They can't really go too far beyond, just like the monkeys. If they see you carry a nice plastic bag with fruits, then they know. You will have problem. Just test it if you haven't experienced it already. They know what to do. But if you have the same fruit in a cloth bag, or I don't know if the plastic, black plastic bag, if it works, just I don't see anything there. I know if you have a cloth bag and wear the same fruit, they don't get it. Thanks, Krishna. But if they see a nice pair of spectacles, they say, okay, let's take it. But somehow there is a limitation to what they can do, and they may take your spectacles or their fruit or something, but you say, yes, that's monkeys. you can't really, you don't go to court with them. The pigs, where they're living, well, in case, that's the way how they are. But the human beings, if we would take the fruits of the others, maybe someone does, I don't know. we take others' things or like that, to be acting, we will be held responsible. And now the thing is, we may be smart and we think that no one sees me. Yes, no one sees you, exactly. Well, you see it yourself. Again, we have the point of seeing. You see it yourself, and Krishna sees it. So that's a witness. And Krishna holds us responsible because we're human beings. And that's wonderful. Thanks, Krishna. You're holding us responsible. And in this way, we can progress in our spiritual life. Spiritual, as human beings, as in our character, and our, in our devotional service, or spiritual progress, let's say. Otherwise, you know, who matters? Who cares if I offer a love, if I offer a leaf, a flower, fruit, or water to Krishna with love? Who cares? Well, Krishna cares. Krishna appreciates. Whether the rest of the world appreciates it, I don't know. They may not know about it. The small flower and small, the flower, the endeavor and the attempt to serve Krishna that we do. Others may not know about it. But that does not matter, because Krishna knows about it. And that is the essential point. Of course, Krishna has his eyes and ears everywhere. That's later on. If that is the 13th chapter. With the eyes and ears and everywhere, it's like, you know, so he sees. So when we see, no one sees us. We're always seen by something. If nothing else, as a, what was it said here and there? The moon and the sun is like the eyes of the universal form is described. So the moon sees us, the stars sees us, the sun sees us, the daylight sees, the day sees us, the night sees, watches us, let's say. So there's always some witness. Okay, but we, as human beings, we are all responsible. We are responsible, and thus we can we hold responsible to progress, to develop a love of Krishna. And again, whether we can do very much, and now we're being blessed here, was said about Sukadeva Goswami in one verse, was said that he was blessed with old age. So we may think, but he was not old. Well, his explanation there was, old age means he was blessed with wisdom. Growing old, if you grow old and become more wise, that's very good. If we grow old and we don't become wise, if you haven't learned anything from our life, then what a waste of time. And who will respect us? There's some old people, some old devotee there. But if there is knowledge or maturity, some realization, some understanding, then the younger, hopefully, will say, okay, let's go and speak with the Mataji, with the Swami, with the, you know, and get the benefit. So we can say, what was the point? We're blessed with old age, okay? time goes on. But the point is, we may or may not be able to do so much. You know, we can do, so to say, less. But then again, maybe we can do with quality. Offer a leaf of flower, fruit, or water to the lotus feet of the Lord, so to say. And the Krishna sees it. Okay, that's the important point. Here, he sees everything. And of course, when he gives vision, he can give us a vision by which we also can see. Okay, so there's knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness. It's coming from Krishna. So we say, okay, knowledge, very nice. Let me get knowledge. Well, maybe some knowledge is better we don't have. There's some things we don't need to know. Knowledge, remembrance. Okay, I want to remember the verses. I have my external hard disk here. Then, well, Krishna gives memory and can take away memory. And maybe it's good, he thanks Krishna that I don't remember everything. But it seems to be that we remember that what we don't want to remember sometimes. Do you remember what you did there? Do you remember what you said, what your action, or whatever? When we do the bad things, Krishna kind of keeps it. Yeah? You remember what you did? We can say, he holds us responsible. Oh no, if I've done something bad to someone and then I meet this person again. we may be trying to keep up a good face, let's say, but we know I did something stupid there in relationship to this person, and I see the person immediately, this usually comes up in the mind, if it truly was me who did it, or my responsibility. Okay, so remembrance Krishna can take and he can give. So, but the good things we do, as far as I'm concerned, it seems, when you do something okay, you don't really think too much about it. Okay, of course I did it because I should do it. And that's quite interesting. And you can kind of forget it. Mostly, I believe the devotees, we maybe don't walk around and remember, yes, how I did all things so nice. Rather, we, you know, in a different ways. So that may be good also. We don't remember that because we're not meant to become proud and puffed up. And then forgetfulness. Krishna may give, okay, then we can say that. Remembrance and forgetfulness. So Krishna makes us remember things or forget things. And we can say that forgetfulness may also be a blessing. One point, we may just forget everything but Krishna. But then if we remember Krishna, everything is remembered. And then the question is, which Krishna are we going to remember? That is, I have a problem here with this Radha Krishna and this form and that form, and then there's Balaram, and there is, of course, I like Partasarthi Krishna on the battlefield. And then we have baby Krishna, Gopa, Yasodhananda, you know, the son of Yasoda there. The one small, cute little boy who is playing tricks with his friends and parents and everyone. But then you have this inconceivable thing. And that is, one day this little boy eats dirt. And his friends says, this is, now we're really going to give it to him. Something like that. We tell his mother, Krishna, you're eating dirt. We're going to tell your mother. That's real good kids. And then Mother Yasoda comes, yes, what's up? Krishna eats dirt. And then say, Krishna, are you eating your dirt? No, mother, they just want to create difficulty for me. Typical kids. Perfect kids. Krishna is a perfect kid also. He's perfect in everything. He's perfect in being the, whatever, the lovable child who causes some mischief. And then Mother Yasoda says, okay, then open your mouth so I can see. And then we know what she saw. We can say, at least she saw something of the universal form. A little child opens the mouth and the mother looks in and sees the whole universe, including herself looking into the mouth of Krishna. This is Krishna. He is inconceivable. So this little Krishna, the one little boy we can focus on, in his mouth, sometimes when it opens it, you see the whole universe. And here we have Arjuna entering into that universe and seeing the whole universal form with all its terror. It's scary, so to say. And then it's described here, the verse is, the demigod seems like they're seeing, they're scared, they're like perturbed, what's going on, what is this form? It's like chewing up people, you know. People are being chewed up every day around the world, around the universe, you know. There's so many deaths back and forth. And that's what it's seeing, and that's scary. But that all exists in the belly of that little boy. It's a beautiful little boy. In any case, you can meditate on him and pray to Krishna that he, and being here in Vrindavan, it's very nice now. Okay, we can pray for the mercy of the acharyas, of the goswamis, go to their samadhis, pray for the mercy, for the blessings, so that we can understand something of Krishna and Krishna consciousness. But at one point, because we say, no, I'm gonna be Krishna conscious, you know, I. But basically, as soon as we say I, there's a certain ego in it. I'm gonna show them. I'm gonna become a pure devotee. But actually, we are not in power to say that I am going to be. So therefore we humbly pray at the feet of the previous acharyas that they kindly bless us so that we may become pure devotees by their grace, in spite of our shortcomings, not because of our qualification, but in spite of our disqualifications, so to say. And we have, and you may think, I'm okay, you know, yes, but I'm a Brahmin family, I'm this and that. That's okay, Krishna can just make you forget or whatever, remind me or do something. So we're dependent on the mercy. So it's very wonderful here to be in Prabhupada's rooms, and here's every night more or less, and they have Bhagavad Gita going on, and there's Bhagavatam, and there's kirtans, and this and that. And to be in this spiritual environment and getting, to say, recharged, being in the West with all its gramya katan, whatever material influence. Of course, it looks a little bit like the West outside, you know. We're going through the airport, Calcutta. I came the day before yesterday, and the day before they opened a new terminal for the internal domestic traffic. Because, am I still in India? Or then coming here on the highway, or driving, it's like, well, this is not really India anymore. This is not the Indian road. And in any case, coming to Vrindavan, a little bit the back road, see, it looked a little bit Indian, but then they have the Parikra Marg, and then, okay, Hare Krishna, what's happening? Still we're sitting there, still there was kirtan going on. So that's, maybe that's the essence of Vrindavan. So the devotees are there, we're coming, and things externally, once it changes, but as long as we can, internally, nothing is changing. The basic activity of chanting and hearing about the glories of the Lord is taking place, then actually, maybe nothing has changed. It just looks like it on a certain level. On a different level, it's the same. As Gonitai, Srila Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta, and Krishna Balaram, and Radhisham Sudha, Lalita, Vishakha, they're all there, and the worship is going on. So that's very nice. Okay, so I'm going to be here just a few days, and I had a nice visit to Sanatana Goswami's Samadhi Mandir today. Sanatana Goswami's. So then I thought that's just my, you know, we're depending on mercy, you know, to see, to perceive. So we have to ask for the mercy, for the blessing, so we can see and perceive things in the right way and progress in our spiritual life. Okay, Hare Krishna. Maybe you have some questions or comments on what I said or didn't say, or the verses here. We're supposed to close 6:30 exactly, or in any case, yes.
That was a nice point you were making about everyone being responsible, at least in the human form of life. And we see in the Vedic culture that's what our Krishna is presenting to Arjuna, that you have a duty to perform. This Vedic culture where you have duty and responsibilities. And we see rather in the West the demoniac mentality is you have your rights and privilege, which is a false ego, you know. I mean, we understand the logic why they've come to that conclusion, but the attitude is that I have my rights, I have my privilege, so therefore I'm arrogant about it. Well, Vedic culture is humble. I have my duty and my responsibility, and am I coming to that level of fulfilling that? So it forces the living entity to remain humble in that understanding. So you were presenting that nicely, that we're all responsible for our own, to fly our own plane back to Godhead, Prabhupada said. Everyone is responsible to fly that plane back to Godhead.
Okay, I heard a nice point. Actually, this point was brought up on our SGGS meeting in Mayapur. Sangha of Gurus, DVCs and Sannyasis that was taking place 5 days in Mayapur just some weeks ago, during the DBC meetings. So there, because someone said the devotees, we should have our one devotee said, well, you know, in USA, you know, we have the Bill of Rights. You know, the devotees should also have the Bill of Rights. We have so many duties we should do in this and that. Should be a Bill of Rights also. But then was actually Bhaktivedya Purna Swami. He made the point, what you say, actually the two things goes together. So he said, actually, he says, and if Bhaktivedya Purna Swami says it, it must be so. I assume he is really putting his mind into, and I'm just vaguely perceiving him from a distance, but he said, actually, in the Vedic society, if you perform your duty, you also have your rights. If you don't perform your duty, how you can claim any rights? But if you properly do your duty, you can also claim some rights. I mean, in one sense, a little bit in a proportion, we can say, in a proportion to the I would take it, in proportion to the responsibility you're able to carry, there may also be certain rights or a certain freedom. I say freedom. Resources, you know, choices. So that is the less, and I'm not, I can't be responsible. Well, if you're not responsible, then also you can't really have any right. You're dependent, so to say. So in the Vedic culture, so there's responsibilities and there's also certain rights. It kind of goes together in a nice way. Well, that was how it was said there. And to me it makes sense. Because if I as a devotee say, okay, let's be I try to my best capacity to be responsible and do my things, well then certain facilities and possibilities also is to make choices or arrange things and like that. Any case. Yes, but if you just stress the rights, then Hare Krishna. And then if you suggest just duties, and then maybe also it becomes a little bit, what is this, suffocating, so to say. Okay, any other question or comment? Of course, we can say, I think old age now, we're getting, well, you know, take advantage, you know. Because some of us are older. And I was here first time 75. And then I was what? Mataji was there, a long time. Okay, now it's some, it's not. Any case, some years later. Then I just count, you know, another 10 years, you know, who will be left here, so to say, of us. Okay, right. In any case, we can say, well, we don't have a right to stay young forever here, okay? We have the right, but we have the right to engage in devotional service. That is our right. We have a right to engage in devotional service. And there, and as more as we take that seriously, okay. But
many years ago, I remember a statement by Jai Dwaita Swami.
Yeah.
He said, the only shortage in our society is the shortage of grandmothers. So that was, I think I heard that at least 15 or 20 years ago. Yeah. Now, some of us are at that stage, and if, you know, if you had families, you'd also still be at that stage. And the grandmothers means, if you've ever seen an Indian family, everything revolves around the grandmother. Not even the grandfather, actually, just around the grandmother. The grandmother has all the experience, has more experience because she's helped raise everybody in the family like that. So I will suggest that you take advantage while you can, and you know, don't expect too much, but at least it's another resource if you're stuck. somewhere.
The grandmother. Take advantage of the grandmothers, yes. Hare Krishna. Maybe there's some grandfathers. Hopefully
there's a lot of grandfathers.
And uncles.
And, if, and uncle, great uncles. And there's so many nice devotees to take advantage of. It's a good resource. The best resource of all resources is devotees in general. But if you're stuck somewhere, it's always nice to ask somebody who has a little more experience and lived the hard knocks, the life of hard knocks, and learned something from it.
Okay. Okay, thank you. I propose we end here and carry on with our devotional life. Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.